Don't you folks know it's summer? And you're not supposed to be here? When I came here last August, I think it was, I started off with a story that I want to start off with again. Some of you may remember it, but most probably don't. And some of you have never heard it. So I think I'm going to say it twice anyway. There was a little girl who was about 4 years old. And she went to her mama and said, "Mama, where did I come from?" And she said, "Well, honey, you came from God. God created you, and you came through me, and you're here now, and you came from God." Little girl thought about that a little bit, and then she went to her daddy. Said, "Daddy, where did I come from?" He said, "Well, honey, a long time ago, there was a Big Bang, and everybody evolved, and you came from the apes." The little girl goes, goes back to her mama. "Mama, you said I'm from God. Daddy says I'm from the apes. Which is it?" Mama said, "Honey, he's talking about his side of the family, and I'm talking about my side of the family." So anyway, we're going to be talking about being untethered, and it's conscious awareness is not perception this morning. And as you will see here, this book, Living Untethered, by Michael A. Singer. They're in the bookstore. This is what I am speaking from for the next 3 weeks. I will just tell you, he uses about seven chapters, to talk about the creation of the earth and to let you know that you are stardust, okay? It only took him 6 chapters, and there's 30 chapters in the book. So I'm going to miss some of that as I move along, but I'll do the best I can as I try to interpret what he's saying. And I think what he's saying is extremely important. In the book, Lessons in Truth, the first chapter is all about being in bondage, being caught up in this thing we call the earthly and human predicament, being caught up in such a way that we are confused, we maybe don't quite understand who we are and what we are, and we don't quite get it. But there is a way out of how we're feeling when we're not feeling well, when life is confusing, it's frustrating, it hurts sometimes. And Emily Cady talks about that in the first chapter of her book and so forth and on. And Michael Singer does the same, but he says it a little differently. What he starts off saying is that you and I have been, the earth has been here for 4.6 billion years. And you and I come into this earthly environment for maybe 80 years, more or less. And I'm hoping it's more. And so what we understand is that during that time, we can have an experience, and many of us do, where there is pain, where there is memories of the past that bind us and hold us back from being what we are capable of being, from being the power that we are, from understanding that we really are the consciousness of God in action here in this day and time. And that's a choice we make. But unless we understand that and know that and understand how it works in us, we're not able to really step out into life in its fullest. And Michael Singer says it's because of two things. You've heard this before. One is that acceptance. When I accept my life as it is and don't get all tied up into all kinds of issues that have come up during my life and release them, I am then able to live life in a very comfortable, wonderful way. The inside feels good. And when I resist what's happening in my life and don't want to accept it, I then get all tied up, because what happens is I create anxiety, and what's inside doesn't feel very good. Anybody had that experience? Yeah, two people, that's right. Okay. So anyway, what he talks about is this idea that conscious awareness. And the question becomes, who's in here? Who's in here? I'm seeing you. I know you're not in here. You're seeing me. Who is in here? What is it that's in here? What is the self? And as you look at that, then you come to this question about, hi, are you in there? Now, I want you to turn to a friend or a neighbor, and they, we all are, and just say, hi, are you in there? Yeah, see? Did anybody say no? Certainly not. But you know, that's who you are. It's the self. It's what's inside of us. And yet, it projects out into the world. It projects in such a way that it buys into what the world is like from our perspective and not from reality. When we fool ourselves sometimes. When we think we know who we are and we really don't. And therefore, we end up all convoluted, confused, and sometimes believing that we can't get out of this situation we're in. Especially when in a situation where there's pain, where there's hurt. Maybe a situation where there was a divorce. Maybe a situation where you lost a child. Maybe a situation where you've lost a mother or father. And we go through those things, and they hurt. They are painful. And we decide whether we accept what happened, or if we can decide that we're going to resist what happened. And something has happened in my life in a given moment, maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and for me even more than that, there is this situation where we feel uncomfortable. And when something happens in my life that's similar to that, I react to it rather than respond to it, because I'm not letting the inner self who is in me do that. Now, you know, the interesting thing about ourself is that as we look at it, the self can is pretty unbelievable. Yeah, aren't I cute? At that age, the smallest one. But anyway, what happens is, you see, when I see that picture, all three of those pictures, it's me. I know it's me. I can barely remember having that picture taken when I was about 4 years old, 4.5 years old. I probably don't remember. But anyway, it's been around all these years. And I can remember when I was in my 50s, and I can remember now. And yet, I know all three of those objects are me. But are they? Myself says yes. But let's say that tomorrow morning I get up, I look in the mirror, and I'm now a female. Yeah, I know. Vicky would not want to go in the bathroom with me, but anyway, I see myself as a female. Let's just say miraculously some kind of way to happen. Do you think that I would not see myself? I would recognize myself still, because I can't get away from myself. And so when I look at another person and I see a person of color, if I became that person of color, I would still recognize myself, because the self has no distinguishing idea of color. If I looked within myself and saw a spiritual being, then I would accept that. Or if I went within myself and saw the female instead of the male, I would recognize myself, because the inner self has no relationship to gender. We just think it does. See how powerful the self is? How it can work in our lives? And how we move forward with it. So, to self, where are you? And who are you? Imelda Shanklin, I think her name is pronounced, wrote a book called What Are You? Wait a minute. The self is getting upset right this minute. There we go. What are you? And I love that question. What are you? And then you start to look inside yourself and you go deeper. And you start to open yourself up in such a way that Spirit is starting to guide you and letting you know who you are and what you are. That you are created in image and likeness of that which created us. That you are able to feel and experience life. That you are able to project into life. And yet at the same time, you can reverse that and say, what am I projecting? And is it my highest good? Am I really ready for this? And what am I doing with my life? Because I'm projecting something that's holding me back. We call them core beliefs, core values, that I've created as I've grown up. I had a professor, Robert Brumman. Richard and I were talking about this morning. And Robert, in a class when I took licensure to teach class, used to have us sit down. And he is a therapist. And he would have us sit down in class and say, "Now, I want you to remember a time when you were angry." And so all of us would start to remember it, and you could see people's face changing in the class. And then he said, "Now, when did that happen most recently?" And somebody said, "Well, that was a week ago or a month ago." And then he said, "Now, let's continue. A month ago, now, when was that feeling and experience happen in you?" And somebody said, "Oh, a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 4 years ago." He said, "I want you to go back to when you were in college. What was that feeling like in you?" And you remember, in college, I got angry. I got upset. I felt bad. And then he said, "Let's go into your teenage years. And let's go into your elementary school years. And can you identify that feeling all the way back?" And he was able to do that. And we were able to do that. And it's really refreshing, because what you're starting to do is know that you're not living in the moment, you're living in the past. As a matter of fact, what you're doing is passing the moment by. And remember, we only have about 80 or more or less years of moments. And I figured out, I think, in a day we have 3,800 moments. If that's a second, okay? 3,800 of them. That go through our brains, go through our thoughts, go through our minds. And if we hang on to the good moments, we're going to feel good. And if we hang on to the bad moments, the ones that don't feel good, we're going to feel that. And what we have to do is use the self to release ourselves from the past, to release ourselves from who we think we are and find out who we really are. And when we do that, we are then able to understand ourselves and what we are and where we're going. And so, there's a thing in his book he calls the three-ring circus. These are the three things that self is aware of. And the first one is interaction with the world. Now, I had a great drive over here this morning. It only took me an hour and 10 minutes. Usually takes an hour and 15. The longest it's taken me is 2 hours and 10 minutes. Because traffic gets backed up. And so I'm always driving here wondering, is the traffic is going to be backed up? I get in the car thinking about that. I shouldn't do that, but I do. So I'm looking at all those posts to tell me how long it is, and I know there's no backup, and I'm really relaxed and excited about that. And so I am interacting with the world. And we do it on a much larger basis, of course. When we live in a world which progressively becomes less concerned about Mother Earth, about protecting Mother Earth, which protects each other, that's very hurtful. It concerns us. Sometimes we get angry about it. Now, that's not the way to handle it, but that's what we do. Or we say we see racial issues that really conflict with who we are and what we are. And so we have a choice, either to get angry about it or to do something about it. And if we want to demonstrate, we demonstrate for equal rights, we demonstrate for equity, we demonstrate for diversity, we demonstrate for inclusiveness. We don't demonstrate against those who don't agree with us. Or we create even more of the same. And so I understand that in this time, I am called to do something, maybe in one of those areas or several of those areas. And how do I show up? Do I show up as the self, or do I show up as an angry person who is reacting to what's going on? And boy, can't we do that? I mean, you watch TV for a while, and you can get angry if you're not careful. Now, some people say, "Don't watch TV." Well, I can't do that anymore. Okay, I have to see what's going on in the news. And I watch it, and Vicki says, how can you watch that stuff? And I'm actually pretty comfortable watching. I'm just interested in what's going on. I'm trying not to judge it. I'm just trying to be there in the moment and know what's going around me so that I know what I need to do in order to be a powerful force for change rather than sitting on the side and not doing anything. There was a time in my life when I was interacting with the world in such a way, and this was during the Civil Rights era, Martin Luther King, and I agreed with everything he was saying. But I lived in Newport News, Virginia, and I didn't say much about it. But I agreed, and I understood it. And my dad and I would argue about it sometimes. And he was good, because it was a friendly argument. It was a difference of opinion, but it's okay. And what happened was, in 1988, I went to San Francisco for a conference. And I went to the Methodist Church. It's called Globe Avenue Methodist Church. And I went in, and this was a church that had a black minister who was dynamic. And at the end of the service, they would all sing, We Shall Overcome. And I got up, and they didn't have a monitor where I could read the words, and I am bumbling through the words, trying to sing it, okay? Not remembering all words, and then pick it up. The guy next to me, after we finished, looked at me and said, you weren't part of the civil rights movement, were you? I had to say no. I really wasn't. I sat on the side. And I decided then that I would never sit on the side again. And I've tried not to. So life, the self, looks out and makes a decision either to be comfortable on the outside, comfortable for others, use my persona to do that, or it says, what's going on? Are you really comfortable with this? And what are you going to do different? You are going to do different. I am going to do different. That's what the self is asking us, so that we can show up with the power that we truly are. So in this three-ring circus, there is, first of all, the fact that we are, again, the world. The second thing here, did it come up, is thoughts. Is that right? No, interaction world. I'm sorry. Here we go. Why is it not working?
Back up. There you go.
Is that thought? Obviously, I can't see that very well. Anyway, so now I interact with my thoughts. And who creates my thoughts? And if you can answer that for me, you should be speaking. Who creates our thoughts? Now, we can have words. Oh, the self creates thoughts. My divinity creates. But what is it in me that creates all these thoughts? And many of them are repetitious because I'm thinking about something in an unhealthy way. And when I change my thoughts, then I'm not in repetition. I'm instead starting to think of something, let's just say, in a healthy way. And I interact with those thoughts. And I take those thoughts and turn them into ideas, and then I imagine things. And if I'm in my divine self, my divine expression, I'm imagining good things. If I am not, and I'm in my persona, in my ego, I can imagine all kinds of crazy stuff. And so how do I step up to this? And one of the ways is to go to my heart space and to think from the heart. And as we do that, we start to think different thoughts and see things in a different way. And then there is this third one, I think, which says, sorry, here we go, your emotions. Okay, now, the three-ring circus, again, number one is, what was number one? Thank you. Number two is interaction with thoughts, and the third one is interaction with our emotions. And this is the one that gets us, because it's hard sometimes to control our emotions. Sometimes we need to cry and it's okay. Sometimes we need to talk about something and it's okay. But how we do it is what's important. Does it come from the inner self that is calm and at center with world and itself? Does it come from positive intentions that I've created before I get in that situation? Or do I just react like when I was 2 or 3 years old? Which do I choose to do? It's up to me. And so as we do that and we start to understand this three-ring circus, we begin to understand what we can do and where we're going. And this particular slide is something that comes directly from his work. In Living Untethered, we are embarking on a journey of acceptance and the greatest gifts it promises: freedom, peace, and inner enlightenment. Freedom, peace, and inner enlightenment. You see, what we know, because we've been taught this, Jesus started many a parable, many a statement: the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's not somewhere out there. It's not somewhere you go to. It is in you as you. And when we experience that, we experience a sense of creativity. We experience a sense of being here with purpose. We experience the understanding that we don't have to be in the kingdom of hell. We can choose to be and are in the kingdom of heaven. Now let's meditate. So let's take this moment to just sit, to breathe gently, and to prepare ourselves for an inner journey. An inner journey that carries us deeper within ourselves, where we find the seat of the soul within ourselves. And as we move into that place, the seat of our soul, we can ask ourselves, what am I? Who am I? Why am I here? What is love? What is the kingdom of heaven? And those kinds of questions prepare us for this moment of silence where we understand and know that the Christ is at work within us as us. It is our beingness, and it is the silence within. And during this time, with whichever questions you ask yourself, know that you have planted a seed. That seed will mature, and the answers will come to you as you continue to follow a path of spiritual growth. Now let's come back to this place in this moment as we say, thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. Amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to you. me as I open up to be an expression of your.